Little different this morning than maybe what we typically have on a Sunday morning. I feel like the Lord's given me about four or five things this morning, and so we're just going to kind of bounce from one thing to the next, but I really believe that He wants to come and meet with us in a powerful way. And so just go with me on it, okay? Can you do that? Can we just go there together? Yeah, good. Excellent. I have an exciting testimony to share, and I didn't forget about the Facebook Live. I will get that in just a second. But how many of you know Richie Lewis, Capital Area Dream Center, right? Well, Charisma Magazine did an article on Richie and the Dream Center. Have you heard about this? Charisma Magazine. Yeah. And so he sent an email blast out to his the folks on his newsletter list, and he shared the link on the Charisma website for the article that they did. And I just want to read just a part of it. There's more that I won't get to this morning, but I just want to read this to encourage our hearts. We just had Richie at a Connections men's event, I don't know, several weeks ago. We do these about twice a year. The men from the community of Newville come together, and this time it was at Diller Mennonite Church, and we had Richie come in and speak, and he said, "Look, Kurt, I share the gospel, and I see people come to salvation in Jesus Christ. I pray for the sick, and I see people healed. I see all this stuff happen, not because on the basis that I'm an evangelist." He said, "I do all that stuff because I'm a believer." And that's what is available to all of us as believers. He said, "It's not because I went to Bible school. It's not because I am an evangelist. It's not because I have a ministry. It's because I'm a believer." And the things that we see Richie do are available to all of us as believers if we're willing to step out into it. Amen? Now, as an evangelist, he has an added responsibility to teach and equip others. But again, it's not because he's an evangelist that he sees this happen. This is an amazing testimony. You're going to love this. Again, this is from Charisma Magazine. If you want the link, just let me know. I can email it to you. It says, after one of his speaking engagements last month, a man came up to Capital Area Dream Center Executive Director Richie Lewis and told him of several testimonies from people he has seen healed since reading Lewis's book, Moving Mountains, How to See the Sick Healed and the Captive Set Free, one of which was a man he saw raised from the dead. Recently, Bob, now this is a guy that read Richie's book, and he's now implementing the things that Richie's teaching in his book, okay? This is up in, I think, Vermont, maybe. So recently, Bob, this guy, was driving home when he came across the scene of a bad car accident. He decided to stop and see if there was anything he could do to help. As he approached the pickup truck, he saw a man lying on the ground, lifeless. Several people were gathered around the body. After talking to them for a few moments, Bob knelt down and, using the principles in Richie's book, commanded healing and life over the man. Instantly, the man sat up and began to talk. Everyone began freaking out and asked Bob, "Who are you?" Stunned and not knowing what to say, he answered, I love this, "My name is Bob, and I'm a Christian." That was his answer. "Who are you?" "My name's Bob. I'm a Christian." The man, who was previously lifeless, walked away from the accident alive and completely healed of all of his injuries. Come on. Come on. Don't you love that? Bob is stepping into the things that he's being taught in Richie's book. Not because Bob has a ministry. I don't even think Bob has a ministry. I don't think he's gone to Bible school. I don't think he's a pastor. But I'm pretty sure he's a believer. And based on that, he was able to step in and see the dead raised. Come on. Come on. There's so much more available to us as we're willing to step into it. Amen? Well, I hope that really encourages you and lifts collectively our faith here in the house this morning. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Pastor Steve, I think one more thing before I get on Facebook Live. I just really felt this stirring in me to to honor Pastor Steve this morning and to express our appreciation. And he's going out the door now because he doesn't like these kinds of things. But I got to be obedient to what I feel the Lord's asking me to do. How many of you know Pastor Steve, who's been our lead pastor here for, what, approximately 12, going on 13 years? He brings a lot to the table in this house. I think one of the major things that he brings is stability. Because we've had some rough seasons that we've gone through as a church. When Pastor Al unexpectedly, suddenly passed away, after much prayer and checking with advisors and checking with mentors and discussing with Elam Fellowship, we decided that God was calling Pastor Steve to fill that lead pastor position, and he brought stability to this church. And it was a very emotional time. I mean, it was just like out of left field. Here was Pastor Al. You know, he seemed so full of energy and so full of life. And at 61, suddenly, he's gone. And it was Pastor Steve that brought stability. And as time went on, the Lord laid things on Pastor Steve's heart to do. Things that changes that the Lord wanted to implement here at CLCC. And there was some backlash. There was some negative responses to that. But rather than yielding to what the people wanted, Pastor Steve yielded to what he felt the Lord was speaking to his heart. And again, brought stability when we were going through those rough waters, as it were. And there were other things. I could go on and on and on. I mean, it was under Pastor Steve's leadership that it became possible for a woman to serve in different ministry positions as a pastor, as an elder, as a deacon. That wasn't the case before. And it was Pastor Steve that brought those changes to CLCC. He brought stability. He brought the word of the Lord. He brought great teaching. He brought a compassion for the people. And again, I could go on and on, but suffice to say, I appreciate you as my pastor and as my friend. And can we just recognize him this morning and show our appreciation to him? I mean, I haven't even talked about the leaders that he's raised up. I mean, come on, we have, other than him, we have four other pastors on staff. Now, for a church this size, that's very unusual to have that many pastors. But again, it was the Lord that brought these pastors in, and he didn't go with a line of reasoning that said, well, we're not big enough to have all these pastors, so I'm just going to exclude them. No, it was, I'm going to steward well the leaders that the Lord is raising up in here. And I'm going to champion these leaders, and I'm going to raise them up, and I'm going to speak into their lives, and I'm going to see them walk in their calling and walk in their destiny. Against what conventional wisdom may have said, again, he went with what the Lord was leading him to do and was a good steward of those leaders. And so we thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you and just want to honor you. Well, good morning, family. Great to be with you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Before I get to what I feel like is the meat of the sermon or the meat of the message or the word that the Lord's laid on my heart, I just want to remind us of something. You'll remember, gosh, I guess it's been probably a couple months ago by now, that I shared a message about how God is manifesting Caleb dreams in this season. Do you remember that? Does that ring a bell somewhat? Yeah? Okay. And so I just felt like the Lord is saying to remind us of that again and even add a little bit to it. You'll recall, you know, that whole sermon was based on Caleb and Joshua and the other 10 spies that went in to spy out the promised land. They're on the brink of the Lord bringing them in to possess their inheritance, the promised land, right? And so the 12 spies came back, and two, Joshua and Caleb, had a positive report. They were saying things like, look, God has given us this land. We're able to go in and take it. I know there's obstacles, but God's for us. Who can be against us? I'm paraphrasing, but that was effectively what they were saying. We can do this because God is for us. But it was the negative report of the 10 spies with things like, oh, there's giants in the land. Oh, there's fortified cities. Oh, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do this. And it was the negative report of the 10, remember, that swayed the hearts of the people. And because of fear and doubt and unbelief, Israel wasn't able to go in and obtain the promise that the Lord had been promising for a long, long time. And so as a result, they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 plus years, right? But the Lord is faithful. And the Lord brought them back a second time to go in and possess their inheritance. And it was at that point that Caleb, you know, remember the remarks he made. Look, it's been 45 years. I'm 85 years old now. But I'm as strong now as I was back then. And God had birthed something in him that first time that they tried to go into the promised land. And the Lord gave him a dream to go in and to have an inheritance. And here he is, 85 years old. But he's saying, I'm as strong now as I was then. I must go in and possess my inheritance. I must have that mountain. And God manifested that Caleb dream. And I believe that's the season that we're in now. The things that the Lord has spoken to you, has promised to you, the word that he's given, and maybe a long period of time has passed since he initially spoke that to you, I believe we're in a season where God is manifesting Caleb dreams. And so I believe the Lord is saying to us prophetically, this isn't me getting up on my soapbox, this is me, as best I can, giving the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord is saying, do not shrink back, but step forward and do the thing that I've called you to do. Take the steps that I've called you to take to activate the manifestation of your dream. Don't shrink back. Step out and do the thing that I've called you to do to activate that. Amen? And so I believe we're in this season where he is manifesting Caleb dreams, where he is manifesting things, especially to people who have been told in the past, no, you can't do that. Does that resonate with anyone? You've been told in the past, no, you can't do that. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was a coach. Maybe it was a well-intentioned friend. And God placed this thing inside of you, and the friend thought, it's just impossible. You can't do that. But you knew all along, that thing burning inside of you wasn't just your desire. God placed that within you. And so, again, we're in a season where God is manifesting Caleb dreams. To those who have been told in the past, no, you can't do that. God will override the no of even the well-intentioned friend. He will override that. As you don't shrink back, as you're faithful to step out and do the thing that he's asked you to do. Remember, whenever they came back the second time, remember, they sent spies, two spies, to Jericho, and who stayed with Rahab, the harlot. Remember this? And so they had this conversation with Rahab, and they were getting some information, and the soldiers came because they had gotten word that these spies were there. And it was Rahab who kind of stood in the gap for these spies, right? And she sent the soldiers away, kind of on this wild goose chase, and she said, no, they've already left, but they were really up on her roof hiding, right? And so she sent the soldiers away, wrapped up the conversation with the spies, and then sent the spies away. Who is the Rahab that God is asking you to go to? Amen? Who is the Rahab that God is sending you to go to? Take that step. Have that conversation. Do the thing that God is asking you to do, which will activate the Caleb dream that he wants to manifest. Regardless of if you've been told, no, you can't do that in the past. And then finally, I really felt, especially for women, God is manifesting your dream. Maybe you're the one that's been told, no, you can't do that in the past. God, we are in such a sensitive, such a strategic season right now. And God wants to manifest. Honey, he wants to manifest the dream that he placed within you maybe a long time ago. Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back, sister. Step out. Go to the Rahab that he's asked you to have a conversation with. Do the thing that he's asked you to do, and you will see him manifest your dream. Amen? And then when he does, come to your church family and let us know, and we'll all dance and celebrate and shout for joy with you. Amen? Okay? Amen. Okay. Now, what I really want to preach on this morning is familiar spirits. And you'll see how this all kind of ties in together. We just had Pastor John Heiss from Martinsville, Virginia, a few weeks ago. Remember Pastor John, who is one of Van's pastors that Van grew up with in Martinsville, Virginia. And he came and he shared with us a message about fighting a good fight. Remember that? And let's just go real quick to where he was sharing out of in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to review just a couple quick things. And again, as we progress, you'll see how it all kind of ties together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 3, Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And Pastor John was just reminding us, look, we are in a fight. We are in a battle. We are in a war. Now, our fight is not against people. It's not against flesh and blood, right? So don't go out of here and shoot somebody and say, "Well, Pastor Kerr said we're in a fight." Don't do that. I'm not saying that. Sometimes it's important to stress what you're not saying as well as what you are saying. But we're in a spiritual battle. And he went through these four items that Paul lists: strongholds, arguments, opinions. In the New King James, it's called every high thing. And then finally, thoughts. And let me just remind us some of the things that he told us about each of these things. He said strongholds are the hardest to take down. They are systems of arguments that defensively isolate from all sides. If you think of a fortified city that has this huge wall, like kind of like Jericho, that has this huge wall around it, those are strongholds. You know, very hard to penetrate, very hard to get through. They're systems of arguments that defensively isolate. These walls are made through hurts or bitterness or habits or blindness or blind spots, which is what Pastor Steve just shared with us a couple of weeks ago. Remember Pastor Steve shared with us about blind spots? And he gave this example of, you know, driving down the highway and you're looking in your side mirror, you look in your rearview mirror, and it looks clear, and you go to pull over into the passing lane, and all of a sudden you hear somebody laying on their horn, and they aren't like a mile behind you, they're right there, right? And you jerk the wheel back and get back in your lane, and you're like, why, where did he come from? Why couldn't I see him? Well, you couldn't see him because he was in your blind spot, right? And Pastor Steve was reminding us that we can all have blind spots at times. And the Lord is faithful to show us those blind spots because he doesn't want harm to come to us, right? He doesn't want us to represent his kingdom in a way that doesn't line up with his word, with his will. And so he's faithful to show us our blind spots. It's not an occasion to bring shame. It's not an occasion to feel like you're being slammed by the Lord. It's not an occasion to be made fun of. You had a blind spot. You had a blind spot. No. It's really an invitation to step up. It's an invitation to step into the truth. It's an invitation to leave something that's not kingdom mindset and step into something that is kingdom mindset. You with me? Blind spots can come. And sometimes we can have blind spots in these strongholds. So Pastor John went on to talk about arguments, which he said are a set of opinions that resist and attack other people and arguments. So he brought out the point that when we're in an argument, not a discussion is one thing. A discussion, hopefully, is where, you know, you talk and I listen, and there's respect and there's honor shown. And then I talk and you listen and vice versa. That's a discussion. An argument is something different. An argument is a set of opinions that resist and attack other people in arguments. You're actually contending against someone or something else when you're in the midst of an argument, right? And there's a spiritual element to this as well. I mean, there's a natural, we know what an argument is. We've been in arguments. But there is also a spiritual element from the kingdom of darkness that is part of that as far as this spiritual fight that we're in, which Paul is addressing here. So there's arguments, there's opinions, which he said are distinct beliefs or assumptions that have no backing in knowledge. We all know this. What's the saying? Opinions are like armpits. Everyone has two and most of them stink or something like that, right? Have you ever heard that? I've heard it referring to other body parts, which we won't go there as well. But so we know what an opinion is. But again, think of the spiritual aspect of this. We have an opinion, but what if I have a blind spot and I have a belief that doesn't line up with Scripture, and maybe I've opened myself up to the enemy to come in and have influence over that opinion. And now I'm spouting this off as if it were fact. It not only contaminates me, but it can contaminate other people as well. Right? Opinions. And then finally, he talked about thoughts. And he talked about how we need to take every thought captive. So every thought that we have, does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with the nature of God? Does it line up with the will of God? And if not, we need to take those thoughts captive and bring them into agreement with the Word of God. Because again, if there's a belief that I have, a thought that I have that doesn't line up with the Word of God, I could potentially open myself to the enemy's influence. Something called, and it can eventually become something called a familiar spirit, which we're going to talk about in just a few moments. But it's so important to take every thought captive. And so in a nutshell, that's what Pastor John was sharing with us. And, you know, again, he was talking about, you know, if we want to, like, take down these walls, so to speak, we start with thoughts. We start with the bottom layer of bricks or blocks, so to speak, of this wall, and we take every thought captive. Because thoughts form opinions. Opinions form arguments. Arguments form strongholds. So start here with thoughts. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, that every thought we have lines up with the Word of God, and we'll see these opinions and arguments and ultimately strongholds begin to come down. Amen? So we're taking that idea that we're fighting a good fight, we're fighting a spiritual battle, and that we may have blind spots, which Pastor Steve shared a couple weeks ago, and we're going to hone in on this thing called familiar spirits. Because again, it's a spiritual battle with spiritual influences, both from the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And so, you know, when we talk about influence from the kingdom of darkness, or when we talk about a demonic spirit, or when we talk about things of that nature, a lot of times our thoughts will go to an example like we find in Luke chapter 8. If you want to turn there with me real quick, we'll look at Luke chapter 8. And we'll look at this example of the demoniac. And this isn't exactly what we're going to focus on, but I know a lot of people, this is kind of where their minds go when we talk about things like this. And let me just say that I recently was part of a advanced SOZO training, and Donna Da Silva, who's one of the co-founders of Sozo Ministry, did a teaching on familiar spirits. And so a lot of what we're going to be talking about this morning is gleaned from her teaching. So I just want to kind of give full disclosure and give credit where credit is due. But as I was viewing that training, I just really felt like, you know, this convergence of what Pastor John shared and what Pastor Steve shared, that this is what I was supposed to share this morning. So that's kind of how we ended up here. So we're in Luke chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 26. It says, "Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he, Jesus, stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss." And this account goes on from there. They ask for permission to be sent into this herd of pigs. And Jesus says yes. And you'll remember that, you know, the legion, all these demon spirits departed from this man, went into this herd of swine. There was like this stampede towards this cliff, and they went off the cliff down into this lake and all drowned. Very dramatic, very extreme case, what we're looking at. And although, you know, he had had this spirit for a long time, and it was probably a familiar spirit, this is not really what we encounter on a day-to-day basis. Now, are there folks that you could find on the streets of Harrisburg, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, that might be close to this category? Sure, maybe even worse, I don't know. But again, this isn't kind of where we live on a regular basis. More what I'm talking about, let's turn to Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, we'll start in verse 10. It says, "Now he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when she saw Jesus," or I should say, "but when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." This woman had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. There's a good chance this was a familiar spirit. Why? Because over 18 years of time, she got pretty familiar with this spirit of infirmity, wouldn't you say? She lived this on a regular basis. And maybe it started out not being too bad, but at the end of 18 years, she's hunched over, and she can't even stand up straight until Jesus comes on the scene and heals her of this spirit of infirmity. So she was being tormented physically by this spirit, by this familiar spirit. That sounds more like something we might come across, wouldn't you say? Let me look at one more quick example. In 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 14, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." We're talking about King Saul here, okay? Old Testament, King Saul. And he had this distressing spirit that troubled him. Verse 15, "And Saul's spirit servants said to him, 'Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he will play it with his hand, when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well.'" Now again, this is King Saul, and this distressing spirit would come and torment him emotionally. With the woman that we just read about, it was a physical tormenting. With King Saul, he's being emotionally, maybe mentally, tormented. And of course, we know that in this case, they would call for David to come and to play. And whenever he would play, he had an anointing on him, and that distressing spirit would subside. Right? And so this wasn't something that just happened once with King Saul. This was something that happened over a period of time, and I believe it could have been a familiar spirit. Does that make sense? So, you know, a familiar spirit can manifest in different ways. You can think with me of, you know, maybe somebody who has an anger issue, or you might even say a rage issue, right? And maybe you try to talk to the person about it. And they might say something like, oh, that's just my personality, or, oh, that's just my strong Italian temper coming out, right? Right, Frank? Yeah. Sabatini. It sounds like a good one, right? Well, okay, it might be. It might be. But could it be that a spirit has attached itself to you and it's having influence over you? Because whenever that's in operation in us, that rage or that anger, are we representing the kingdom in an accurate way? No, we're not. So I think at the very least, it's something that should be dealt with, wouldn't you say? And again, none of this is said in condemnation. None of this is said in, you have a problem. No, this is an invitation. This is an opportunity for us to more fully step into what God has for us, right? To more fully and more accurately represent his kingdom. So, you know, a familiar spirit can manifest in different ways. Loneliness, sorrow, fear, anger, rage, hatred, lust, hoarding. Hoarding. I heard a testimony of a woman who had this familiar spirit. It was a hoarding spirit. And you know what a hoarder is. Like, they just keep everything. They don't throw anything away. I mean, like a scrap piece of paper. Boom, there's a place for it, right? And this woman had this hoarding familiar spirit. And she was eventually delivered of it. But afterwards, she said, oh, I had no idea. I had this blind spot that this was a familiar spirit, that I had a hoarding spirit. She said something like, well, I thought it was wisdom. I thought it was stewardship. And to her, it seemed that way. But it went beyond stewardship. It was a hoarding spirit. But she couldn't see it because this thing had been influencing her for so long that she didn't realize it wasn't part of her. And that's what a familiar spirit can do. These things track with us for so long that we say stuff like, oh, it's my personality. Oh, it's my hot Italian temper. Oh, it's wisdom. It's stewardship. No, it might be, but in her case, it was a hoarding spirit. And again, these familiar spirits are with us for so long, we can't delineate between what is a demonic influence and what Jesus died for us to be. Did Jesus die for me to have a hoarding spirit? Did Jesus die for me to have rage? Yeah. He's calling us up. He's giving us an invitation. We can deal with some of this stuff this morning so that we can better represent the kingdom of God. If we're willing to. If we're willing to. So, you know, a familiar spirit, again, is something that is influencing us for such a period of time that we don't realize it's not a part of us. And if it goes on, it can be even imparted to the next generation and become generational. Oh, great. Now I get to impart my hoarding spirit to the next generation. Is that what Jesus died for me to do? No. No. And again, this is spoken in grace, in love. This is not condemning. This is an opportunity for us. Amen. So we're going to watch a short video here in just a second. But just a few things about familiar spirits. They're obviously called familiar spirits because they're familiar to you. And over time, we don't even realize that that's not who we are. They seem like habits formed or normal thought processes or inner self-talk. That's what it can seem like. These things have been with us for a while. It just seems like it's part of us, but it's not. It's a familiar spirit. We've opened a door, and the enemy is now having influence in our lives. So what do we do about that? Well, number one, we discern the familiar spirit. And Donna De Silva outlines three ways that we can do that. We can allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and show us if we have a familiar spirit. We're actually going to do that in a few moments. And Becky, if you would go down and get your mom, Sister Stacy is going to lead us in that. So how do we discern the familiar spirit? We can allow God to show us. Number two, we can discover or discern the familiar spirit in the context of community. And this little testimony that we're going to hear from Donna De Silva, that's what happened in her situation. It was within the context of community that somebody who loves her came to her and said, "Hey, I think you have this familiar spirit." And you'll see on the video at first, she's like, "I don't think I have that." But found out later on that, yes, she actually did, and she dealt with it. The third way we can discern the familiar spirit is by the Word of God. The Word of God is alive. It's quick. It's sharp. It's powerful. And it can help us to discern if there's a familiar spirit. So once we discern the familiar spirit, step two is we simply repent for partnering with this spirit. And that may involve forgiving some people in our lives as well. And then step three is to break all agreements with this spirit, and we command it to leave. And, you know, when we talk about things like, you know, the demonic or evil spirits or things like that, sometimes it's easy for us to have this huge image of, oh, these things are big and they're scary and it's, oh, you know. But listen, Jesus is bigger than any spirit of darkness. Was there ever an account in Scripture where Jesus could not cast out a demon? He's bigger than every one of them. He's bigger than every one of them. Do demonic spirits have influence and power? Yes. But Jesus is bigger. And listen, I got good news for you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So do we need to be scary of the big, bad, demonic spirits? No. Why? Because the one who's greater is in me. Amen? And it's his desire for me to not walk under the influence of that familiar spirit. It's his desire for me to walk in love, to walk in his spirit, to walk in freedom. Stacey, if you want to have a seat, we're going to watch just a 5-minute video, and then we're going to bring you up. So if you would, Pastor Steve, would you play this short 5-minute video? It goes through the 15-minute and 50-second mark, just to give you a heads up. If you can see that, I'll let you know if it goes over. But we're just going to watch this short video. And this is to show us that, look, this isn't like time to make fun of somebody because they're under the influence of a familiar spirit. I mean, in her case, it's like, huh, I didn't even realize it. I had a familiar spirit, and so I dealt with it. So let's watch this short video.
So, a funny story on that one. I was in the movie with Danny Silk and Bill Johnson and Chris Ballatin, my husband Steven De Silva. It was the big wigs for me, but I was so excited to be in this movie. And Danny was teaching us how to put on a goal for your best day ever. What is your best day ever? And this was just the top leaders at the time, and he was teaching us what he wanted to teach other people, so we were listening. He says, "I want you to be specific about your perfect day." And he starts saying like this, and if you know Danny Silk, he's funny. And he's like, "So, I sleep in because it's my perfect day. I read a novel and I kiss my wife when I wake up. And he says, oh, we just are so in love. And then the kids run and jump on the bed and we wrestle for a while. And when we're done, I get up and I make pancakes. And I get into the office about 10 a.m. because, again, it's my perfect day." So he's going through his perfect day. He says, be specific. And he says, and I have this couple that have been with me for a while, and they just haven't gotten free, and they have this epiphany, and they love each other all over again. That's my perfect day. So he said, what's your perfect day? I'm going to pause, because something probably spoke to you. What's your perfect day? What leapt inside of me, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. He said, I knew that's my perfect day. And then I thought, I can't put that on my wall. It'll bum me out. It'll point out to me all the people that are still lame, all the people that are still blind. It's not going to encourage me. It's going to discourage me to have this on my wall, this goal that I cannot accomplish. And I thought, what a great question. So I raised my hand and I said, Danny, yeah, how do you keep that from upsetting you to see that all day long on your wall? And he just stood for a minute and he's like, what do you mean? Okay, that is clue number one, that I see life differently than my boss did. I said, you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to roll over and kiss your wife, and one of you will have morning breath. And the kids are going to come, they'll jump on the bed, and they're bound to land on your leg and hurt your leg. And I went through his day and pulled apart his entire day with what could go wrong. And he stood there absolutely just dumbstruck. Like, how in the world could you pull apart my perfect day? And he said, oh, you need to get rid of the punisher. I'm like, punisher? I don't have a punisher. What are you talking about? Now, externally, I could argue I don't have a punisher because at the time I was a school teacher. I was very loved as a school teacher. I was one of those people like, if you work hard, I will work as hard as you will. You do not have to flunk this class. We will have extra time together. You put in time, I'll put in time. I was really able to help people get better. I felt like, man, I knew those punishers. And they were like, you're out of here and you're out of here. And I just thought, no, I don't carry a punisher. But I realized, if nothing else, I have a wrong mindset. Remember? We talked about that. And I am now looking at, well, maybe I have a normal mindset that needs to change. Maybe I have a punisher and I just don't know. So I went to my car. And I'm sitting in my car and I said this, punisher, I don't think I have you. But if I have you, the steps, discern it, I ask God to forgive me for partnering with you. Repent. And I break all agreement to you. And I command you off of me. I kid you not. I felt this thing thrown back in my car, and it went out my car. And I thought, oh, I had a punisher. Who knew? Danny, Bill, Chris, my husband. Oh, how embarrassing. So be careful of your questions you ask, because they are going to point out maybe sometimes a familiar spirit that you could be carrying. But it was so easy. I honestly didn't even believe I carried them. But when I broke agreement because of the blood of Christ, it had to leave when I commanded it to leave.
Very good. It was so easy because of the blood of Jesus. And so I've asked Stacy if she would lead us all in just a short time where we're going to ask God, am I being influenced by a familiar spirit? And then we're going to wait on him. He's going to speak to our hearts. And then she's going to lead us through this easy way to get rid of that familiar spirit. You guys with me? You ready? Okay, here we go. Thank you, Stacy. Go ahead.
All right. So the one thing about a familiar spirit is it's familiar to you. So it feels right. It feels normal. But that normal is not everybody else's. Okay? All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in a minute. And I want you to ask the Lord questions and listen for his answers. Okay? His answers may not, try not to just, don't filter them through what you understand. Just listen to what he says. okay? And most of my questions are going to be yes, no questions, and then I'll lead you in a prayer to just break those things off if there's something on you. Whenever I'm going to pray it out loud, you call God whatever it is you usually call him. Lord, Father, Jesus, whoever you usually talk to, that's what you need to say. I usually talk to Father God. Okay, let's go. Father God, am I listening to a voice that is not yours? If the answer was no, thank you, God, for keeping me, and I worship you and adore you. If the answer was yes, this is the next thing we need to pray. Father God, I repent from partnering with that other voice. I renounce all connection with that other voice and break all ties with that other voice. Other voice, other spirit, I tell you that your voice will no longer be familiar to me. I declare you are no longer familiar to me. Holy Spirit, I say your voice will be familiar to me, and I will listen to your voice. Spirit, I command you to leave me in the name of Jesus. For by his blood, I am saved. One last thing. Father God, what do you give me in exchange? And if he gave you something, you probably want to write that down. Amen. It's that simple.
Yes, yes, so good. Thank you, Stacy. Thank you. I did this several days ago, and when I asked Holy Spirit if I had, you know, another voice, the answer was yes. And at first, I didn't understand the answer. It was rest, but I just went with it. And I won't go through all the details, but in the end, the gist was: don't rest from those good works that you've been created in Christ Jesus to accomplish. And then that made sense to me. Don't rest from those good works, right? And so that was kind of what the Lord showed me. And I was able to break agreement with a other voice that would say to rest from those good works. The steps that Stacy just led us through. And it was a real powerful thing. It was a simple thing, and it was a very powerful thing. So, would anybody like to share maybe what God just showed you and just kind of broke off of you? Do we have any brave souls that would like to share just briefly anything? Yes, Sharon. Uh-huh. Wow. Oh, that's awesome. And that is not a small thing. That's huge. Oh, power. Yes. Thank you, sister, for sharing that. That's awesome. Yes. Anybody else before we wrap up here shortly would like to share anything that the Lord showed you, broke off of you? Okay. Great. Great. If you feel like I'd like to delve into this a little further, or I feel like I need a little more help with this, please feel free to schedule a SOZO appointment. We have a great SOZO team right here at CLCC that can devote an hour and a half to you, if that's what it takes, in a SOZO session to help you walk through this or any other things that you're dealing with. So I really encourage you, and that's on our website, again, at christianlifecommunitychurch.net. There's a link to the SOZO ministry on our church website.